enthusiastically engaged in the show.
I think it's called heckling.
But if you want to jump up and down in your undies, I'm there for you.
But if you look at who else is in the pool, it's a pool of death. Welcome to the Coat Hanger on 2SER 107.3. We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we broadcast and record this pod, the Gadigal of the Eora Nation, and we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. The Coat Hanger is a show and podcast where we tackle women's footy with a Sydney view. I'm your host Fiona Lamb and I'm joined by...
First cab off the rank, Nat Morgan.
And Tracy Kick.
All right, and it's time for the warm-up. Let's have the whistle, please. And it's Coat Hanger Callouts. Take it away, Nat.
I know, new name. It's better than social shout-outs. I think the Coat Hanger Callout is the way to go. And we've copped ourselves our first 5-star rating. And this is from someone called Mungrel Duck Mum. And that's not a trip over my tongue. That's her name. Very glad to see the team back for a second season. Well-informed discussion of women's football from a Sydney, New South Wales perspective. Something sorely needed. Beautiful.
Love
and then
that.
We've got another one from Sweeter of Stanmore, and it says, I'm loving the show. Sounds like you know what you're talking about. Well, you obviously do. Should be on twice a week, and I'm loving it. So I'm happy with that one. We've got another one from Alison Parkin. Love hearing familiar voices of Tracy Kick, Emma Phillips, Beck Privatelli in that interview last week, obviously, and Natty P. Morgan. That'd be me. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks, Al. That's nice. And another one from Peter Tregilgus.
Tregilgus.
I think I've seen his name on many a Facebook AFLW women's page. And he says, great coverage and AFL insight. Keep up the good humour. Well, that's what I'm here for. So thanks, Pete. Very good indeed. So there's our social shout-outs, and we might come back to the injuries and the reports and rising stars later on.
Okay.
Yep. But you're in charge, Fee. You tell me. Do you want me to do them now or later on?
To keep reminding you that.
Later on. We'll ease into that.
All right, time for the ball up then.
Wow, what was that sound?
I decided to change it up a little bit, and instead of a siren, it's a bit of a Harley, to be precise, bit of a motorbike, because it's Mardi Gras week. Happy
Woo!
Mardi Gras,
happy
everyone.
Mardi Gras.
So this is our Mardi Gras show, and I will be one of those people on a bike riding up Oxford Street to start off that Mardi Gras parade on Saturday.
Yay, so go you, Fiona.
Look for the Tibetan flag. That'll be me.
I looked for that last year and I saw it.
How many years have you been doing it for?
5 or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good start to the show, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be in orange near the front. I'll be a ride leader this year, keeping people in check and having
as
just
you
enough
do,
fun.
As you do best, hey, as you do best.
Thanks, Trace.
Keep us in check tonight.
Now, in the first quarter, Nat.
Yes. What am I doing already?
No, I'm just pointing out the fact that I said
first quarter, not quarter one. Fantastic.
I am, as I said, I am in half a mind to call it quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, just to annoy you. But back
and
to the show.
And all our listeners who are educated in the way of AFL.
Let's talk about the Giants game. Ooh. Well done, Giants.
Natty, you were there. So
I was there. I missed their last home game, so I was rapt that I could get out there again and see what was happening on the weekend. It was so nice to have a match for the Giants that wasn't played in rain or wind or storms or anything. It was actually ideal conditions. It was overcast. There were a few dark clouds hanging around, but it certainly had no effect on the game. And there was, I think the reports, there was only a couple of thousand people there, but it felt a lot more. They were spread right around on the hillside, and the Giants had some great sort of marquees and giant heads of the players and things like that, which were a bit disconcerting. Tiny bodies, people holding up, you know, their tiny bodies and these giant players' heads. So that was really nice. But it was great. It was a really good win for the Giants, their best so far. Plenty of goals on the board. Some of their old faithfuls had done really well, and repeat performances by someone like, say, Beck Privatelli.
Yeah, she was on fire.
Well,
wasn't
I was so concerned. She took an early mark and was kicking for the first goal, and she actually missed it, and she wasn't far out. And I thought, you know, sometimes that can just ruin your whole day.
Yeah.
And you lose all your confidence.
She
it didn't.
Head,
she also got took almost mark of the year, but there was a free
wasn't
kick.
Paid.
Oh well, there's a free kick in the pack that one of her players had given away. But I sort of thought those sort of things can just throw you as a forward. But she ended up kicking really straight, 3-1, I think it was.
And
she was in really good form.
I think, too, Nat, just from the interview last week, I think Priv's maturity is really sort of showing through. You know, as a young woman, she's really developed, and so it's becoming evident in her football as well.
Yeah, yeah. Seemed quite calm. There was no sort of histrionics. Is that what they say? All these big words.
You've never done any.
No, never. calm in the face of a crisis.
The other thing I liked about the game was the return of Jacinda Barclay, who I know very well from her days at UNSW and when I was at GWS. And Cinda really seemed to rise to that return from her ankle injury and really made a big difference, I think. Just some of those efforts, because she's so tough. Man, she nearly, you know, kills people with her tackling. She's ferocious.
Well, I didn't see her on the report listing, so she must
have. No, she does it within the rules.
Bagged a goal.
Well, my favourite bit was after the game, and she obviously had that background in the lingerie gridiron game? And
she
had one of the little mini balls that they give away free to the crowd, and most people run over and hand it to some little kid on the boundary. She like sizes up with this big overarm, I'm going to fang this ball, you know, gridiron style.
Right.
And she does it, but instead of this nice loopy ball, it was like this trajectory that didn't get about 2 metres off the ground and nearly cleaned up a whole family in row three. She was very apologetic, but it could have ended up badly.
Just didn't think that through.
No, well, she didn't. Obviously, the arm's not as slick as it used to be, so I'm glad she's now playing AFL and giving the gridiron away. So it was very funny.
Yeah. Hanine did well.
Oh, look, I'm a big fan of Hanine.
Yep.
I've got my favourites down there, and she was terrific, especially in the first half. Any player who wants a ball, I'm on board. Mm. And she did, a couple of great set-up plays. And, look, she's confident and flying. And obviously she must have the support of Alan and the rest of the coaching staff and players, because she's playing really confidently and seems to be one of the first players picked at the moment. So I'm very happy for her.
I'm wary of sounding patronising when I say it, but there's a real maturity that is noticeable in the team this year. So Hanine and Beck, even though she was away last year, and even Cinda, you know, they're looking great.
Yeah.
They're just looking like they're more resilient.
Did you see after the game Nick Barr had the headphones and microphone on for the telecast?
Yep.
And she said, well, I've got to do the team song. And they said, well, keep the microphone in there. And it picked up Captain Evis. They're about to sing the song and they're all pumped. You know, it's a great win. And she just said, make sure we get round the staff and the extra players. It's about all of us. It's not just us out here. And I think it was a great insight that we probably weren't meant to see, but it was a real bonus that they're thinking of everyone, and it is a whole community at the club at the moment, and maybe that's why they're playing some better football.
Yeah.
And I think because a few of them, you know, there's quite a core group that have been there for a little while. So I think that, you know, that whatever changes have happened, you know, they seem to be gelling better. The other thing in the game, I've really been impressed with Lister. The addition of her to the back line has been fantastic, and Elle Bennett's playing off the back line has been a revelation. Bennett's Beck, Privatelli and Elise Parker all made the team of the week, the AFLW team of the week, and that's probably reflected by their performance.
Yeah.
Elise Parker's still picking up a lot of disposals.
She's another player that's developed, who has developed really well. Yeah.
What about West Coast, just quickly before we round that up?
I was watching our friend Maddie Collier go for a ball against Cora. And normally Maddie will...
she's a tough little
dispose nugget. Dispose of the opposing player, but this time it was Cora who just sent her flying. And I went, oh, Maddie, oh no.
Cora has not been able to run for 8 months or get out on the paddock. She's obviously been in the gym working hard, because there's a lot of strength to her and speed. She was... At one stage, she ran out a ball and ran past a couple of other players right in front of the grandstand. So she got plenty of, you know, cheers from the crowd. She's like, for someone to come back from that leg injury that she had only 8 months ago, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
she's 38 as well.
What was that name you came up with for her?
Well, I would like to call her Flash Staunton.
Well, that's
she
a great
was very name. Fast.
Flash.
That was it.
The only other thing I noticed in the Flash Staunton category was her goal, the first goal of the Giants. I counted that, because I'm very conscious of this. I count the number of steps when people seem to run a lot, and she ran for 15 steps. So to me, that was too far.
I think Cora also knows she ran too far. I was down in that pocket with our mate to the pod. photographer Narelle Spanger.
G'day, Spang.
And Spang was taking all the photos as she ran in, and then she said, oh, she didn't even have a great, you know, reaction after. You know, you want a great celebration. And Spang was there to catch the photos. And I said, I think she thinks she ran too far because she glanced at the umpire as she sort of turned. So I think she actually realised. She didn't want to miss the shot, obviously, but there's a real risk.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was before or after Haneen was
pinned.
No, it was before. And Haneen also took 15 steps.
Yeah, Haneen's got tiny little legs.
And she's much smaller.
She didn't run
Paula.
Too far.
So not very fair.
She probably only runs 1 metre per step.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so all in all, it was, you know, it was very positive for the Giants and West Coast Eagles. I'm going to go back because, you know, later on we'll talk about how Saints did get their win and you, you know, you were leading right out there with that call. Fee, but I'm going to say I don't know that West Coast Eagles will get a win.
I don't know.
Yeah, Dana Hooker can't carry the team week in, week out.
No,
she was, I think ground high.
Yet.
No,
yeah.
Something's a bit amiss, isn't
Which
it?
Which I'm sad about that, you know.
Well, they're a new club. A lot of clubs don't win for a while. And yeah, no, look, Dana Hooker and Cameron, she was another good solid game.
She's
Amara,
star.
I think her name is.
Amara, yeah.
Yeah, look, it was a good game for the Giants, good game for the crowd who are out there. I think everyone's gone out happy.
Okay, let's call that the quarter.
Whoa, that was a nice double. Vroom.
Quick, here's a small tip for young players or young riders. Revving's actually really bad for a bike. And so there's a reason why it's usually the Harleys that break down. Well, there's a few reasons people might... A few theories that people might come up with. But one is that everyone who rides a Harley feels compelled to rev it. And when you're riding slowly, it's actually really bad for the bike and they stall. And
I don't rev my scooter.
Is that because of how it sounds?
I'm gonna ride home on my...
It's 150 cc's, I'll have you know. Anyway, moving on to quarter two. Let's talk about the Pride matches. So a few observations. Look, the Pride matches are an important part of AFL right across the men's and the women's, but I think the Pride matches mean something special to women's footy. I think that for a long time women's footy has been a sanctuary, in a way, a very inclusive place for women of all types. And since the AFLW, I think we've seen a different type of crowd sometimes than what you'd see at the men's footy. So it was fantastic to have Bulldogs and Carlton play their traditional Pride round. It was curious that one of the competitions joined in, which was St Kilda and Melbourne, but curious that Melbourne didn't wear a Pride jumper. So
we
that
vote.
Was a favourite jersey design.
That,
it was beautiful.
That Guernsey, yeah.
But I think it would be great to see the whole round as a Pride round. I don't know how the clubs opt in or out or, you know, who gets to say who'll be in a Pride round or whether they have to nominate early. But it's such a significant and strong message. And I know this week being Mardi Gras, I work for the government and we've got government pins that are now in the Waratah rainbow colours. And as soon as I saw it and got one at work, I felt it made me feel like I belonged.
Yeah.
And I think that the Pride round is so important for people to feel like they belong. We've got out players, which we've never had one in, you know, 130 years of the men's competition, an out AFL player. We've got out players, we've got partners in teams, we've got wives in teams, we've got partners in opposition teams. And I know, speaking of Brandon Jack, who you'll speak to later in the pod, Nat, that he recently spoke in an article about how important that is for football generally and how it's changed the face of the game and that he hopes that he'll see, you know, male players taking male players to the Brownlow in the future, as we see with the women.
Yeah. Look, it's the thing I noticed at the Melbourne St Kilda match with Melbourne not wearing the jersey, not even socks. Now you can buy them for, if it's a money issue, that's, you know, should be able to get the players a pair of socks. But the goalposts were decorated, so the posts are included, but not the Melbourne players. So what does that say to, you know, the gay girls who are playing and supporting Melbourne? Maybe, I don't know, it was a bit disappointing, but wouldn't it be great if almost every round was Pride round and they don't have to wear jerseys, pins and banners to run through? If it was every week, it was like come as you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, I think there is a sense of that, though, with women's footy. And even if we go back to our local footy, and the local women's footy here in Sydney were the first to march in the Mardi Gras, and I marched, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row with that group. So, you know, women's footy is setting an example for the community and for broader society and for those acceptances and just for people to come as they are. So I think that people do go as they are, but it is nice just to have that symbolic reference, I think.
Yeah, and I think don't underestimate what it means to people. The reason I didn't get to the Giants match in round one was that two of my very beautiful friends were getting married, Leslie and Hannah.
Shout out to
Leslie. They're not
your
friends if they have a wedding on a game of AFLW.
I know. Well, that's what I was putting on Twitter. Is it possible that I have friends who don't follow AFLW? Who knew? But I didn't actually – I was alone because my partner wasn't with me and he's in Melbourne. And so I was meeting these people I didn't know and introducing myself. And of course, you asked how you know the couple. And it actually took me back to a really dark time in my life because Hannah and Leslie were people I befriended when I was going through some pretty tough stuff. And it really brought a whole lot of darkness back that I hadn't really thought about for a while. So I've been reflecting on that, and it's really sat with me, that sadness that you kind of move past, hopefully, if you're as lucky as I am and we are. And so a pride round and this embracing of the community and the inclusion, it can't be underestimated. It's actually really important. And so, yeah, let's make it a pride round for all teams, I reckon, AFL. Let's get on to
Cheers.
That.
I'd Good love day. To see that.
Yeah. And thanks, everyone, for the Pride Round, because it's actually been a great precursor to our Mardi Gras in Sydney.
Yay.
Yay. Trace, what's hot in the huddle?
Hot in the huddle was on the socials. That was hot this week when the article came up about Ed Marinoff being the first person of any gender to have a tackles to games ratio, 250 tackles. If you saw the post, it referred to a number of male players who hadn't achieved that and how many tackles they'd done per game ratio. Now, this sparked a lot of trolling and posting and opinions. Yeah. And it's really interesting because it didn't really, at first I thought, oh, wow, good. But then when I started reflecting on it, I started to think about a few things. So just very quickly for hot in the huddle, I think what's in a stat? So, tackles is a bit different to goals. Tackles are part of the combination of things that win games. But as Coach Kiwi says, are you second to the ball if you're tackling? So there's that question. But the other question is, why are we constantly comparing the women's game to the men's game when they're quite, while it's the same sport, they're quite different games. The length of the game, the number of players on the field, the distance that people kick, all of the things that are part of a women's game are quite different. So that was a hot in the huddle topic and might be one we want to explore down the track.
I think it would have been good to see who else is on the ladder in the women's comp. That might have meant
compare
more.
Ebb to
how far away are the others.
I thought the best stats that came out this week was someone on Reddit had put together, they calculated sort of possessions per game and goals per game, but equated, they stretched it out so that because the women's game is a lot shorter a match, but sort of added up the minutes and calculated, and as a balance it's quite comparable to the men's games with possessions per quarter or game. Look, that's a better one. At least it's like for like you're comparing. And we're not,
It's still not though, Nat, because it's 18 v 16. We could have a debate
about this. True, yeah. It is.
And how those stats.
That might be this is a hot in the huddle topic. We might have to extend it in one of our future pods.
Yeah. Mm. More later. All right. And so now it's Chat with Nat.
This is Chat with Nat, and I'm here with Brandon Jack up on the hill at the main bar, a play on words after our very own Nick. Now, Brandon, you set yourself up here last time for the home game, and you're back again with your mate.
Yes, I'm very lucky to have Lloyd Perris here, the partner of Nick Barr. Very devoted fans we are, so yeah, we're excited for a good day at the game.
And how nice is it? There is some black clouds around, but I'm not sure it's going to actually rain today.
Yeah, it's good that we can sit out here actually and not be pelted with rain, so it's exciting. I haven't seen the girls play in dry conditions either, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, sure. Fantastic. Hopefully the skills will be up there, and hopefully they'll have a win against their old players, Emma Swanson. Yeah, and Maddie Collier as well.
Yeah, definitely, I think. I mean, the girls had a pretty good start to the season, probably their best start so far, so I think they'll give it a good crack today.
Very good. And Lloyd, was it?
Yes.
Now, how is Nick's feeling this morning? Ready for a big win?
Yeah, she's always excited and nervous, as she always is before a game, but she's really excited. She can't wait to play. She loves it, so it's an exciting time.
Excellent, good stuff. Well, enjoy the game, and hopefully it'll be a win for the girls.
Thank you so much.
Excellent, good on you guys. Cheers. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that chat, Nat. Did you have anything to say for yourself?
Well, when I got out there and I saw them the boys sitting up on the hill, and I remember in that fantastic article that Brandon Jack had written a couple of weeks ago about his last time he travelled out there and, a few beers on the way and bought some mates, and they sat on the hill and they just loved their time at the footy. And it created a bit of a stir in the socials, a bloke telling other blokes to come out to watch the women play and just enjoy it for what it is. So I went up and had a chat, and when I got up there, I must have remembered my faux pas of last year where I called Nick Barr Nat Barr, and then I tried to explain why. And my name's Nat, but there's also a Nat Barr out there. So I start talking, introducing, off I go, blah, 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 and, the play on words with the main bar, it's called, after our Nat Barr. And then I went, I'll start again and get it right. I got it right, and next thing you know, Brandon introduces Nick's boyfriend, and I went, oh, of all the people to be sitting up here. But anyway, they were lovely guys, and apparently quite a few people dropped in to visit them and have a drink on the hill with them, and Nick had a pretty good game, so it was a good one.
Okay, well, let's lead straight into then our preview for GWS. So they are playing
Brisbane.
Brisbane, that's
right. So I reckon this is match of the round next week. It's 1v3 in Pool A, and a real definer for what's going to happen in those last four rounds at the midpoint of the season. It's nearly over before it started. It's another topic. So I guess, will there be any changes after a good performance, do you think?
Well, I don't know. You've sort of been calling for Bonner to go for weeks now.
Well, second week in a row.
Well, that's plural, weeks.
Yeah. Oh, look, I just feel like she showed so much promise last year, and I still think she'll, she's got a great contribution to make. I just feel like the role she's playing at the moment, she's been caught that many times, and that's a problem with the Gaelic footballers, is just having the awareness for the tackles and trying to take the game on, which, Cora's improved at, but it's still within their nature to run, because that's what happens in Gaelic. And I think I'd like to see her have a break, and I'd like to see maybe Tate Mackerel come in and use, I think they've been using Von Bonner on the wing, so Tate wouldn't take that role, but just to move some things around, because Tate's been named as emergency for the last 3 weeks and probably deserving of a run. I don't think there were any injuries at GWS, Nat.
No, not that came up in the last couple of days. I'm a big fan of Tate's too, and it was nice to watch her out at the ground on Sunday out at Blacktown. All the players who hadn't made it were sitting in the grandstand. The enthusiasm and love and enjoyment they were getting out of their teammates on the field doing great things was so good. They were cheering and hooting and hollering and high-fiving each other. So, there's good spirit. And so she's doing all she can, I guess. Mm. I loved what she'd done in the practice match actually against Brisbane. Tate wanted the ball. She was working so hard that day. Mm. So I'm hoping that she will get a game. I've looked at sort of their average stats, both GWS and Brisbane for this year, very similar. Very similar in disposals and efficiencies and marks and contested footy. So they're very balanced. Giants smashed Brisbane in that practice match. But Trace, you said,
I've watched that three years in a row, so that's not an indicator. And the Giants have never beaten Brisbane.
And it's being played at Hickey
Park too,
isn't it?
So that's interesting. It's been played in Brisbane. And there'll be some great matchups. I guess the question, will Wooshner be back? And who will Lutkins take, Priv or Staunton? I think that'll be a great match, because Lutzi is a phenomenal reader of the ball and won the medal in the game against the Giants and Brizzy and the Suns last weekend. So she's in great form again, all Australian prior, and she'll probably take Cora or Priv, I think, and it'll be interesting to see who else lines up against each other. I think this will be a fantastic match. Sure. So, we don't know who's in or out, but we're looking forward to it, and I think this will be a ripper.
Well, Captain Eva's probably lucky to still be available to play. She had a pretty hard knock and took out, I think it was Aikens, and her jaw was a little bit sore. But anyway, six reports out of last weekend's games. Sherlaw, Bates, Eva and Cox. Sorry, so four reports have all been given the time to accept a $400 fine, I saw this week. It's a $400 fine, so that should be all right. So she'll be playing.
Do you think the tribunal's been more lenient this year?
Well, no one's missed a match yet, have they? No. Everyone's just taken the cash. Given the cash over.
Pay
yeah.
up.
Well, they haven't gone to the tribunal, exactly.
No, they've all accepted it. And the two Rising Stars nominations, it's been the same now for three rounds. They've nominated two. And, Trace, you think that it might be because of only eight rounds and more teams that every young kid's got to get a go at.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because if you had 14 teams and you can only nominate eight times, it's, you know, some teams are never going to get a look in. So
fair enough. Well, it was St Kilda's G-Train, Caitlin Greiser, and we might talk about her a little bit more in the wrap-up in the pod when we talk about the games.
Yeah.
And Gold Coast, Kalinda Howis, for her three goals. So it was well done to both of them. Well deserved, totally.
All right, so just wrapping up. Please remember this Friday, the Pies versus D's game is at 5:35... 5:30, the gates open at Marvel. And guess when the game starts, peeps? 5:40. So that's right. Get your running shoes on and race in there because you need to be in there. It's the bushfire fundraiser before the men's game. So
doubleheader.
Doubleheader, yep. The GWS versus Brisbane Lions game is 5:10 this Sunday, the 1st of March at Hickey Park. So get in front of a screen to see that. This is the Coat Hanger Football Radio Show. Catch us every Tuesday, 7 p.m. on 2SER 107.3 and access our podcasts, including additional content, on the fifth quarter where you usually get your podcasts. Follow us on socials, Twitter, Insta and Facebook. And from all of us here at the Coat Hanger, happy Mardi Gras.
Yes.
Maybe we can get the girls ready. 1, 2, 3.
Happy Mardi Gras. That was it.
And for the best half of views in women's footy,
tune in to the Coat Hanger.
Room, room, room.
Welcome to the fifth quarter, our podcast section of the Coat Hanger. We will start the fifth quarter by reviewing the other six games, and we're going to start with St Kilda versus Demons. Oh, my goodness. I was so excited. I had to walk around my block of flats and apologise to the neighbours the next day.
I was thinking of you, Fee. I thought Fee is going to be going off.
You did tip them early, didn't you? Did anyone else have that song, I Hear the G-Train Coming, It's Coming Round the Bend?
No.
I kept singing that the whole time. More they called her that. Fraser Garrick had the original name there at St Kilda, so I think the peeps down there and the long-time supporters will be jumping on board the bandwagon of the G-Train. It's fantastic.
She was great, wasn't she?
She has had that nickname for a while, apparently. Yeah.
Look, she bookended. She got the very first goal and she got the last goal.
And a few in the middle too, didn't she?
Three. I think, three she kicked and maybe a couple of others that she drilled. Man,
right.
She can
the,
kick.
The snap was the one for me, that one from about 35, 40 out. That was a ripper.
She's pretty good. And her and Kate McCartney work so well together. And if you're a little midfielder bursting through and you want to hit at someone on the chest, you'd be looking for the G-Train, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great combo.
Absolutely.
Great combo indeed. Yep. Who else was, it was.
What else about the game?
Tight.
Yep.
Look, sometimes you think a close game's not always a good game, but it pretty much was, wasn't it? Every quarter you're thinking, what's going to happen this time? And even with the winning goal coming with still about 7 or 8 minutes to go, you kept feeling like that there was something good was going to happen. Noah's happy with it, very happy with it. Daisy did her best, Daisy Pearce, in the last term. She repelled about 3 or 4 attacks. She did everything possible from her end. Mm. It just wasn't gelling all round, was it?
Yeah, no, it was a good game and good on the Saints for getting up. I guess I felt the week before they just didn't have the belief that they would win. I think it was more about belief. So if Peter had done some work around belief, then I think, there was a chance that that they would come through. And that was quite evident in the fourth quarter because they didn't, they were relentless. So
yeah,
that worked well.
So I think we might have someone else joining us on the line who might have something to say about the St Kilda versus Melbourne game. Hello, are you there, Coach Kiwi?
Hello.
Oh, you sound like
you're in the toilet.
You're in the Intergalactica something.
So, any comments about St Kilda D's?
Look, the game was awesome. It was a beautiful setting. And sitting on the hill, you got to see a glorious sunset. And that kind of colour with the Pride jumper actually made the setting very, very good looking. Now, the Saints, they just held their composure throughout the game. And for the young team, they had the two small defenders, Rosie Dillon and Timmy Lucas-Rod, they both had 16 possessions, which was massive for that team rather than their midfielders. They were doing all the work. And then the big Tamara Luke on debut,
She was a ripper, Kiwi, wasn't she? Cunningham only ended up with three possessions, I think.
She's been quiet this year, Tegan Cunningham.
Yeah, and I think some of this happens is that these big forwards, there's now a lot of videotape on them. And so the defenders are doing their homework and getting to know how to stop them. And, I thought Tamara Luke, she's had the last two seasons at Hawthorn in the VFL and been really, really solid. I thought she'd be drafted last year. So, I think St Kilda's got a good one there. She's got a good head about her and she's versatile. She'd go in the ruck if they need as well. But she normally plays forward or ruck. So that was new to see her in defence. But I thought she did a ripper job on Cunningham.
Awesome.
All right, moving on to Bulldogs versus Carlton. That was the official Pride match. Were you there, Kiwi?
I was with the 8,251 people. Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good setting and a beautiful sunny afternoon. There was a bit of a breeze, but not much for Whit Noble. But, the Bulldogs, they're just looking a bit rattled the last 2 weeks. So their free-flowing football they started the season off with is just not really working anymore. And good on Carlton. They just did good. They played in really good numbers and linked up well around the field.
And Georgie G kicked three as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They pay attention to Darcy, who started to drop back quite a bit. They pay attention to Taylor Harris. But then you've got Georgie G popping in there and cracking a goal. I think Katie Loyne's got one as well. So, yeah, there's others that'll get on the scoreboard if you don't watch out.
And Prasparkas was back again after being sort of having a poor game last week.
Well, heavily tagged or whatever.
Yeah, she had another good game. I think she got the 10 votes from the coaches, so she's back.
Yeah.
Can't keep a good girl down.
And that's a good thing.
And McAvoy.
Happy Mardi Gras.
And there were a lot of drag queens in attendance, so they're just warming up before they head to Sydney, obviously, this weekend.
Yeah,
excellent.
Right.
Good. We said the Pride round was warm up for Mardi Gras.
Yep, just a bit of window dressing.
They did. They had a bit of a march from Footscray. There's a square in Footscray, so they marched from there down to Whit Noble, and I think that's a couple of thousand people.
We did promote that last week, yes.
Yeah, so,
Did you march, Kiwi?
No, I was watching the other game. So,
all right.
Too many games back to back.
True. Well, let's move on to the draw, the first draw
top
of
draw.
The round.
Yes. Well, I was supposed to be at this game, but there was a bit of an incident and I didn't quite make it. But anyway, I did watch it though.
Flat battery was involved for you.
Absolutely.
Flat battery
had to get the
for me,
NRMA. It was, yes, it was all happening. But I didn't get there, but I did watch it. And this was a ripper. We've spoken before about the depth of Queensland talent, but when you consider both teams have got 80%. Queenslanders in them, but it was a good game, and I thought the Brisbane Lions experience would hold out the Suns, but no, the Suns were great.
That last quarter, they had all the play, Gold Coast. I'm surprised they actually didn't win. They were peppering the goals. They were getting into the forward line. Lutkins was probably the one stopping the actual win.
And she was an individual kind of contributor there. Without her, they would have won, I think.
It started furiously that last quarter too, that they were just both so desperate. Both Kasler and Conway went off with quite serious head knocks that had really affected. They both came back on from memory. Did you? Yeah, they did, didn't they? So, but they were a bit, had wobbly legs. Everyone was just desperate for the ball and to do something with it. And I don't know. It was interesting. Brisbane players looked disappointed, and Gold Coast players were a bit like, "Oh, we didn't lose. Oh, you know, a draw." You know, they were seemed a bit happy with the 2 points.
It'll be interesting how the 2 points plays out through the round to see whether it's kind of going to work for them or against them. Depends what happens in the other games, I guess.
I did feel for them, though. I really felt the Suns deserved to win.
You just
mainly because I tipped them.
Yeah, true.
But I tell you, the Suns playing really positive football, and there's some Victorians down around Melbourne way who are now buying memberships to the Suns just purely on the excitement value that they're bringing to the field. So,
wow, word on the ground,
it's fantastic. It's really good, and it will really help their club because really the men's program hasn't delivered. So, and I know that they're relying heavily, in a sense, on the women's program to kind of lift the club. So,
the profile.
And internally, I think, culturally and everything. Yeah.
Surely it's got you. And then let's move on to Dockers versus Magpies. Wrung out by the end of this.
Do you know what? I thought, why did we lose? How did we lose? There's no reason we should have lost. I went through the stats. We had 30 more kicks. We had 65 more handballs. Collingwood. Collingwood had nearly 100.
We got
100 more. I was riding every bump and kick. 100 more disposals. Our efficiency was 65. We won the inside 50s, the marks, contested and uncontested. And then you know what we got down to? Frio got 3 more free kicks. And we only lost by 3 points. So it was obviously the umpire. They robbed us. That's it. Well, that's the only thing I can...
Typical Collingwood supporter. We got robbed by the umpire.
Well, explain to me. How did Collingwood lose? We dominated everything else. And that's the only thing I could find was gone wrong. Kiwi, what happened in the inner sanctum?
I think Collingwood, what they did was they did dominate the game and dominate possession throughout. But that second half, Freo just seemed to lift their intensity. So what Collingwood did was they moved the ball from left to right, but they just couldn't penetrate and they couldn't hit up their forward targets. And when they did get the inside 50s, I think there was just a lot of pressure on them that their shots on goal, I think, were something like 29% efficiency. So that's really what's killed them in the end. It's just not quality ball for that inside 50. And
That's also credit to Freo's defensive effort.
And they lifted, and that's what they did. They lifted. They didn't have anywhere near the number of scoring shots, but when they did, they took them. I think in the first half they had 3 goals from 3 shots. So they kept clean when they were up there. Their defence was just solid in that second half. And while Collingwood may have had the ball, Rio just created a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Jamie Lambert for the third time got the perfect 10 votes from the coaches.
She's a front runner for the BNF, isn't she?
Surely they can't catch her already. Like, that's just magnificent. And she has been terrific. In fact, the coaches gave 6 out of the 7 players were all Collingwood players. So that just reinforces that it was the umpire's fault who robbed us.
And then moving on to the absolute massacre that was North versus Richmond. So like true kangaroos, they disemboweled the Tigers.
Ouch. So you said an absolute debacle? What did you just call it then? An absolute...
I said it was a massacre.
Massacre.
But I wrote it a travesty.
Well, I wrote down an absolute flogging. Like, that's an absolute flogging. That was a shocker. Richmond were not in the game, never looked like it. And even when they got the ball, 2 goals, 8. Like, if they're getting the ball down there, they've got to get better accuracy when they get there.
I was glad to see Sabs get a sizzling goal.
Oh, look, you know what? You could see it being set up, but can I just say, she chose to, you know, flip overhead, scissor kick style. She had 2 players standing 2 metres ahead of her who could have had a direct shot at goal if she'd taken out of the ruck and just handballed straight to him. She's gone the glory.
Okay. I take that on board, Nat. I do.
That's a little bit of player education for you, Fee.
Speaking like a real forward.
Nat wouldn't have handballed at all.
I've got to tell you, I wouldn't have been jumping in the ruck. Leave that for someone else.
You were probably the second tallest, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Do it all, Trace. I did it all.
They nearly put me in the ruck once.
No, I do get very cranky at selfish forwards when because that was successful, so okay. But I've seen, the grand final in season two was lost because of...
Selfish play.
Mm.
Yeah. Ash Riddell and Caitlin Ashmore and Jez Gardner, probably the standouts on the field too.
Yeah, and Phoebe Monaghan did a lot. She had two. And she was almost like the sole defender there for a while in the way she had to battle. But, yeah, it was a beautiful sunny afternoon and Tigers just... They were out sunbaking. They went there to play football.
But she brought the Monaghan-a-mania, is what you're saying.
Yes. We tried to yell it out a bit, but I think there were too many kangaroos around it.
Right. Well, that's her third week of being one of the best players again.
Yeah.
And I think Makua Shute got injured. I'm not sure what chest or shoulder or something like that. She did go off. I'm not sure if she came back on. But, yeah, Phoebe's been terrific this year for them. A real standout.
Yeah. And then finally, Cats versus Crows.
Talk about umpires.
Yeah, look, I just...
Control the controllables. Kiwi?
Exactly. I'm not one to bag out any umpires, but, there's a few shaking their heads, asking questions about a few calls and interpretations of calls, but, yeah...
My biggest my disappointment, Kiwi, was that what was a really terrific, even, balanced, hard-fought game was ruined by that final umpire decision for the deliberate over-the-line by Maddie McMahon. It just ruined the whole taste of the match and the effort. It was so disappointing. I'm not particularly sure that Geelong could have got down the other end and scored their own goal, but to have the margin blown out by that token goal... I was really disappointed and cranky that the umpire felt he had to... I don't think it was deliberately rushed over. She was flat out, like giraffe legs, carrying her across, to get the ball to get... I don't know what she was meant to do. I don't know what game he was watching.
And if you actually look at it, it looks like she actually tried to stop.
Yeah.
And it was momentum that carried her over. So, and this is what worries me sometimes, the umpires, is they haven't played the game. They don't understand you can't stop on a nickel.
No. Without, you know what? She'd do a knee again.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been mentioned a few times also. What did you want to do? Collapse a knee in? So she's down the right side of the line. So, yeah, it's... it was just a sad way to end that game. I thought it was a really strong battle by Geelong. But,
yeah.
And Ponta had a ripper.
Yeah.
And Gummo in good form again, influential. Not really featuring as much up forward, either playing high forward or in the mids, it seems.
Yeah, I think they started her as a forward and then just kept dropping her back, but she's just so much more potent for them when she is through the midfield area.
Mm.
Same when she was at Giants. I thought last year when they put her in the forwards, we kind of lost her a bit.
I think too, because, Gummo is very good on the ball because it's a very focusing. I think when some players are not as good as adapting to a structured situation as others, and I think... That kind of free reign that being on the ball has really suits Gummo's game style, and she is more potent there. But, she also probably she can be very valuable up forward.
Yeah, she's got a good kick that brings the ball forward too that I think gets him going forward.
All right, let's wrap that up then, and we'll just finish with our tips. Are you writing these down, Kiwi?
Can you memorise them?
So, first off, Pies versus D's. I'm going for the Pies.
Woo! Ditto. Ooh.
Yes, I'm going for the Pies.
2v4. I'm going for the D's. I'm going to be controversial. I wonder what Emma's going for.
No,
we'll get them later, though.
And so you were Pies, were you, Kiwi?
Absolutely, yeah. I think D's are running out of legs, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, we might see Perko in this week.
Yeah, we might
see Brianna Tarrant.
Or Kirby Bentley.
Sorry, what did you say, Kiwi?
Brianna Tarrant, the Sydney girl who's on their list. She's running around and healthy, so she might get a look in.
Mm, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Tigers versus Cats.
Cats. Easy peasy.
This is 6 versus 7 in Pool A, so someone's going to really be out of the race after this game, I reckon.
Richmond are so out of the race already.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going Cats.
Cats are starting to kick some goals now, which is new to their game style. And
Saucer of milk, table two. And now North Melbourne Roos versus the Suns.
Oh.
I'm going to go for the Suns.
Oh, that's brave.
It's my heart play.
North
it's
Melbourne.
2v5. I think I'm going to go Roos. I think the Suns will bring it. But
yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. It's down the road from where I stay.
Oh, that's
beautiful
right.
Pitch. Yeah. 5:10 Saturday afternoon, so we'll probably take some bevvies and sit on the hill. And
what, you're smuggling in contraband?
There's no fence. It's Arden Street. Yeah.
No, that'll be a good game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they train there, they know that field. Sorry, Suns, I think North Melbourne all over them.
Talk about taking it to the suburban fields. It's literally around the corner.
We're near the city.
From where Kiwi stays. Shout out to the
Ryans. It's 4Ks from Witten Oval. It's how close everything is.
Yeah. It's hard to get. As a Sydney sider, I still find it hard to get my head around how close everything is. All the different teams are on all their traditional grounds. Moving on, Crows versus Blues. Well,
hang on.
West Coast Eagles versus the West
7v5 in Pool B, another defining moment.
Look, I'm going to go for the West Coast Eagles. I think this is going to be their moment. This is going to be their time to shine. They're going to gel and they're going to kick those Bulldogs
this
back where they came from.
Moment. Western Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Oh, West Coast at home. I'm
going to
let them.
Cool.
Woohoo! Crows versus Blues.
I'm going for the Crows. I think this will be a bit of a cracker. I think this will be good. Will we see the return?
53,000.
Will we see a big crowd? And will we see the return of Aaron Phillips?
I reckon they would have been building it up before now. I reckon they would have announced it to really create the atmosphere and crowds and numbers and things like that. They've been very quiet.
I only just realised it's the grand final rematch.
It's only Tuesday.
Yeah, we've been to Richmond Oval before, see, a couple of years ago. It only fits about 8,000 and it was packed the day we went down to watch the Giants play. So I don't think they need to build it up too much.
Because otherwise I'd be turning too many away.
Yeah.
Did I say I'm taking Adelaide?
Yeah, yep. I think I'll go. Home. I'll go for Crows too.
I'm going Crows at home.
No heart in that one for me. St Kilda versus Dockers.
This is a goodie. This is 4v3.
I'm
going to
go for St Kilda.
Oh no, I think the Dockers.
St Kilda.
Oh, see now I think St Kilda. This is their third time at their home ground. The first time was special. They're playing at home. The second time, it was special. They got their first win. This time, sorry, I think Freo's going to come over and knock them down.
Freo will too be good. Third time unlucky, good. You reckon?
Third time unlucky.
Okay. And finally, Lions versus Giants. Well, Giants.
Giants.
Lions.
Oh, get out.
Lions.
Kiwi. Okay.
At home. Giants only beat them in the practice matches. Lions win in season.
Okay. So once again, to all people in Sydney and around the country, in fact, around the world, we'd like to say
Happy Mardi Gras.
And for the best harbour views in women's footy,
tune in to the Coat Hanger.
You know I can ramble, don't you, Trace?
Yeah, getting a wrap up here.
Goodbye.